We're speaking to Deneen Erasmus, editor of Farmers Weekly. Deneen, good morning. What do you have for us in the latest edition of Farmers Weekly if we look at the news section?
Good morning, Alfie, and good morning to your listeners. We're going to take a look at the 23 April issue of Farmers Weekly, and it has the most beautiful, striking cover of a banana flower of some young bananas in bright purples and greens. In the news section, one of our main stories is that global fertilizer prices rose to a 24-month high during March. And this was according to GrainsA, which says that international prices have increased mainly due to low stock levels that's been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as rising natural gas prices and earlier plantings of commodity crops such as maize and wheat in the US and EU, which has increased demand for fertilizer. In the case of urea, a smaller supply in China had also supported the rise in prices. Over the past year, there's been a moderate decrease of about 7.8% for potassium. However, for ammonia, urea, and diammonium phosphate, there were increases of between 30 and up to 80% in the cost for these fertilizers internationally, and fertilizer prices in South Africa is expected to follow a similar trend in rand terms, although there might be some slight relief given the stronger currency at the moment. Then we move on to honey. So this is a story that we've covered many times before, and it's an issue that's just not abating, and that's the problem of adulterated honey products infiltrating the South African market. The South African Bee Industry Organization saying fake honey is being sold as pure or authentic, but it typically consists of sugar and a water mixture, and then only with a small amount of honey. According to Adrian de Toy, who's the chairperson of this organization, there have been a spike in these occurrences over the past few years, and this has been to the detriment of consumers who specifically buy honey for its health properties, and especially those buyers looking for raw, non-irradiated honey. He says that farmers are also suffering as they have to compete against products that cost less than a tenth of what it costs to produce pure unadulterated honey. Right, then we move on to Sharon fruit. Despite reports of COVID-19 related shortages of containers, the South African Sharon fruit growers are expecting a good harvest. And the main marketer of Sharon fruit in South Africa says that they were expecting a harvest of about 4,000 tons this year. This is up from 3,300 tons last year. And the high volumes of fruit is due to good weather conditions, and there's also good quality expected, which will boost exports for the coming season. Just maybe a last news story that I can talk about. At the last wool sale, there was a small decline in the wool market as well as a smaller offering. The wool market indicator closed slightly down in the last week of March at about 161 rand with an overall sales clearance on the day of 94%, and that was off of 6,023 bales that were available for sale, according to Cape Wools SA.
And what do you have in your feature section?
So let's start with our feature on switching to solar energy. This is always, and for very long, it's been an issue that farmers have weighed, wondering whether the cost of installing solar energy will pay for itself in the benefits that it offers the farmers and the savings in terms of not having to rely on Eskom for energy. And more that is becoming the case as this technology is becoming not only more reliable and also as better battery products are becoming cheaper and more available. But also, of course, as Eskom prices keep increasing, it just makes more and more economic sense for farmers to switch to this renewable solution of installing solar energy on their farms. This week we speak to Claude Peters, and he's from Ren Energy, to just take a closer look at the economics and when and where it will make sense for farmers to invest in solar plants. He says that solar energy is becoming more affordable and reliable. However, despite its advantages, it's still not a standalone solution, and farmers will always still to some extent rely on the grid. And it also recommends that in-depth analysis of energy usage is required before installation occurs. It talks about some of the advances that have been made in the solar sector in the last couple of years, saying that batteries have become much cheaper. For example, a 60 kilowatt hour unit that cost 480,000 rand 3 years ago can now be bought for about 290,000 rand. So costs there really do coming down drastically.
And in your livestock section?
We've got a couple of stories on livestock this week. The one is about a development program that's empowering young Bunsmara farmers, but I'll speak a bit more about our article this week on boer goats, in which we interviewed a boer goat farmer who is using social media, mainly WhatsApp, to mentor 150 other boer goat farmers to achieve commercial success in their operation. Desiree Ferrara, she's from Freyberg in the Northwest, so she provides valuable support to both developing and commercial boer goat farmers. And she started out mentoring a group of only 30 farmers a decade ago, and she now mentors and supports upwards of 150 farmers. Her long-term objective, she says, is to help small-scale farmers to move from a subsistence level to a commercial farming level, and even to enter stud breeding. And some of the aspects that she says she often finds small-scale farmers need guidance on is how to implement proper animal health management strategies, but also recording and breeding strategies and following proper principles that will help improve the quality of their herds.
And in your crop section?
So as I said earlier, on the cover this week, we've got that beautiful banana flower, which is from our main crop feature for the week, where we speak to brothers Rian and Veje Heistek. They are from my hometown, Pongola, in the northern KwaZulu-Natal. And these two brothers have just started establishing a new banana plantation on their farm. And they share some of the lessons that they've learned being new to this type of farming. And, for example, saying that having a suitable climate and the right type of soil, as well as being in an area where there is good market demand, needs to be in place if a farmer wants to diversify into growing some bananas. Establishing the plantation with strong, healthy seedlings is also important, as this will help to achieve good growth and ultimate profitable yields. And they also give some very detailed advice, for example, in how to select suckers from each mature banana plant, which is then, of course, used to produce the next mature plant and its fruit for harvesting. So very good first-hand knowledge on how to get started with bananas.
And anything else readers can look forward to?
We've got a guest editorial by Professor Philip Berger, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor of Poverty, Inequality and Economic Development at the University of the Free State. And he writes about how South Africa is failing the poorest of the poor by not developing legislation that will strengthen the land rights of people who are living in communal areas. And then lastly, there's also a feature about a community-owned game farm in KwaZulu-Natal, where the community members have come together to really create a sustainable business, not only in terms of profitability, but then also in terms of the environmental aspects from the farm.
And that was Deneen Erasmus, editor of Farmers Weekly.